What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. You can get at me on Instagram at Ian Edwards Comic and on Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever you're celebrating. Enjoy the time off if you got it. Watch the football, eat, love your family and your friends. Have a good ass time, because that's what I'm going to do. Speaking of good ass times, it's Merry Christmas, and it's been a good week for Man U. But before I get into all that, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, OnTheVolleyApparel.com. And if you're into soccer and you love the game and you want to get some gear for yourself, family, and friends, On The Volley Apparel has tanks, tees, hoodies, and jerseys in male and female. And it's a combination of, like, the logos on their stuff is a combination of hip-hop and soccer. So they'll turn iconic hip-hop album covers or images and combine it with a soccer flavor and give you some fresh-ass gear. And they have it for male and females. They have 10 types of hoodies, 5 types of jerseys. You can outfit your local team. They'll do that for you. Tanks, 2 types of tanks, 23 types of t-shirts. So go to OnTheVolleyApparel.com. Use my promo code ComicRant to get 30% off for the Christmas holidays. All right? Now on to official fun business. So let's go to the premiership table, and there's been some shocking results. And Liverpool did their goddamn thing, and they're at the top of the table. They have 48 points. They're 4 points clear of Man City, who lost this weekend. They got the shit. They opened their gift and found coal in it. Crystal Palace put coal in it. But let's stay on Liverpool versus Wolves. Now, Wolves came out with the right plan, and they got some chances early. But if you're playing Liverpool, you got to take your chances. You know, like, even Fabiano messed up and gave away a ball to a Wolves attacker who failed to put it in the net. So did Keita. You know, they made 2 huge mistakes, but didn't pay for it. So, you know, you just, Wolves, you gotta finish, or Liverpool will. And they did. Salah took a ball from Fabiano, one of the suspects from the earlier mistakes, and put that in the net on the outside of his left foot. This guy is ambidextrous everywhere. Left foot, right shoulder, right side of the head, left side of the head, back of the head, forward of the head. Just can score right knee, left knee, thigh, calves. Just can. Salah's just a goal machine. Just put the ball in his direction. Bam. In net. And he also had a great assist for Virgil van Dijk's goal in the second half. Great cross. Virgil took it, put it past the Wolves keeper. Liverpool wins 2-0. They're at the top of the table. And this Boxing Day, they play Newcastle, which is just, and I think they're playing at home at Anfield. It just feels like they're going to have a Merry Christmas. They get another chance on Wednesday to get another 3 points and fold their arms and see if Man City has the balls to stay up with them. Man City second with 44 points, and they lost to Crystal Palace. They have 2 losses in their last 5. One was to Chelsea 2-0, and to Crystal Palace 3-2. I watched this game. It was early. I was sleepy. And in the first Crystal Palace goal, like, was like a cup of coffee. It's like, oh, well, hold on. Wait a minute. It's kicking in. I feel some caffeine here. Crystal Palace? All right. Scored a goal. And you're like, what's going on here? I'm like, eh, they're not going to keep this up. There's no way Crystal Palace can keep it. Well, actually, let me go back. Man City scored first. They started the game the way they should start it. You know, they put the pressure on. They pressed in midfield. They took balls. And they had numerous chances to score against Crystal Palace. And they did. Gundogan scored first. But then Jeffrey Schlupp. That's the goal I'm talking about. That's the shot of coffee that woke me up. When he's on the left side of the field, Walker's in front of him, and at the perfect moment, perfect pace of ball, perfect aim, took a shot to the right side of the goal at the moment when Walker like lifted his foot to stay up with him. And ball went under his foot, keeper dive, couldn't get to it, corner the net, 1-1. And then Andros Townsend scored a thriller, like a nightmare of a goal if you're a Man City fan. Just drilled the ball after the cross got headed out in his direction, just packed his foot into it, delivered it Santa Claus style, up in the chimney, unreachable for the Man City goalkeeper, just in the fucking net. And then they get a penalty, and Milosevic put it in the net. They're up 3-1. Crazy. And you're like, you know, 2-1, you're like, Man City gonna come back. But then 3-1, you're like, wait a minute, this might at least end in a tie, and Man City dropped points, but Man City couldn't do anything. And the issue in this game was not the Man City players to me, you know, because they stuck to the game plan. They played hard like they normally do. They created chances. They didn't put some away that they should have. But I think this loss is Pep's fault, because the subs he made when they went down. Let me see his subs. So he put De Bruyne in the 62nd minute. That means he subbed a defensive player out. And then he put Riyad in the 69th minute, took a defensive player out. And Sergio Aguero he put in the 50th minute. So that's how early he panicked. Like, soon as the second half started. And I feel like they were down, right? 2-0. They pull somebody defensive. And I'll tell you who that person was. Otamendi to put in Sergio Aguero. And then you go down 3-1. Panic move. It's like, it's disrespectful. You're like, oh, fuck it. I'll just put everybody in that can score, who's on the scoring Christmas list, and we'll just get the goals back. Instead of staying calm, sticking to your plan, and letting what Man City does for Man City work. And after that, he panicked some more. Like I said, he put in De Bruyne, pulled Sterling. Who else did he pull? Fabian Delph, another defender, pulled him in the 62nd minute. Got you nothing. Just an accidental De Bruyne goal in the 85th minute. game. You just know they're not going to, even Man City's not going to get two goals at that point. So 3-2 Crystal Palace. Hats off, man. Great goals. Great goals, man. You did your fucking thing. Shock. One of the shocks of the weekend. Shook up the table. Shook it up like dice in a cup in Vegas. You know? Now, last week I was like, how's Liverpool gonna deal with Man City breathing down the back of their neck? But how is Man City now? How's Liverpool going to deal with Man City breathing on the back of their neck? But now it's how is Man City going to deal with running down that track and looking at Liverpool creating some distance ahead of them? And then now, coming up on Wednesday, Man City has Leicester at Leicester, and Leicester just beat Chelsea. So that's not going to be easy. I thought the Leicester-Chelsea game was going to be difficult for Chelsea, but they would pull it off, but they didn't. So let's see. Let's see. But, yeah. Spurs, Jesus, you're third. Spurs is third, and they're coming off a dismantling of Everton. I mean, it was like, the score is 6-2. It was like Everton was a can of spam and Tottenham was the key on the side of spam. Or is it bully beef? Whatever. They had the key and they opened their fucking can up, threw it in the fryer, seasoned it up, cooked the shit out of it and ate it up. I mean, and Everton scored first. And let's see, did I get that right this time? Yeah, Everton scored first. On a Theo Walcott goal. So it's great. You know, Theo Walcott, ex-Arsenal man, scoring against Crosstown, ex-Crosstown rival Spurs. Crowd goes crazy. Theo's on his knees thanking God as if... But that's when the game just started, player. That's when the game just started. I'm trying to find this game on this thing. Oh, it was a... let's see. Oh, here it is. Everton Spurs. So Theo first, 21st minute. Great goal. I like the way Everton came out. High line. And positive, but Carl Martino said something, you know, I think it was at halftime, because by halftime, even though Everton had gone up by one, by halftime, I think they were down 4-1 or 3-1. Yeah, I think 4-1. And he was like, they got the high line, which was, they were getting breached by Tottenham's passing. Trippier just had an amazing game. Oh, speaking of amazing games, I'm at the game and I want to talk about, I want to go to the Tottenham lineup, talk about players, one in particular. First of all, everybody in Tottenham's top list got some. Son got two, Dele Alli got one, Kane got two, and Eriksen got one. Those are their guys. Those are their top guys. And they all got some. They puff pass Everton around and blew them out like smoke. And for a game that looked promising, even 3-1 down, Everton, I still say was playing good, but Tottenham was just clinical, man. It was a special type of revenge and attitude they had against the squad. I mean, And now they're third. Third in the table. 42 points. Only two behind Man City, which is crazy. They could catch them. It's six behind Liverpool. Spurs is right there. Won their last four games. And they are right there. Got a top three, y'all. And Spurs is one of them. Amazing. And just to go back, I got to give this dude his props. Like, Sissoko is good normally for, like, he's been playing the Dembele role. And Dembele technically has always looked like him, been a better footballer. But he can hold on to the ball. He can pass it. But his passes are just medium and little. Like, he's not, like, I guess he plays too far back to break down the defense. But Sissoko covers more field in that position. And people are afraid of him. Like, when him and his shadow approach you with the ball, you feel like you're surrounded by nine dudes and people cough it up. And in this game, in games before, he's been terrible in the final third of the field. But this game, he was splitting defenses with passes. And it's just the best passing I've ever seen from Sissoko. And if he can keep this up, along with scaring people into coughing up the ball, man, he'll be back on the France squad. And we'll never see Dembele ever again. But great, great job. And then there was somebody that got subbed in that I've never seen before. Oliver Skip, England midfielder. So Pochettino's down there grooming another one. Let me see how old he is. 18 fucking years old and he got in this game. It was late. It was already decided, but Podge is on that thing, man. Bringing through another young British player. It's been with Tottenham. I don't know where they got him from somewhere else, but he's 18. And yeah. Let me see what his position is. His position is midfielder. So let's see if this guy's good. There wasn't enough time to see if he was good in this game. I know one thing. Spurs was good. Good as hell. Everton, not so much. Got torched, homie. Charred. You got well done. Another shock this week. Chelsea, who's in fourth, but only with 37 points. And I say only 37 points. I'm a Man U fan. I wish we had 37 points. But fourth. And they suffered a shock loss to Leicester. I knew it was going to be a tough game, but I didn't think Leicester could pull it off. And they did. Chelsea had their chances. Hazard hit the post. He had other shots at it, but didn't take it home. And Leicester, man. That Vardy goal, 51st minute. Man, Madison had the assist, but who was the guy? Marcus Alonso. No, let me look on the wrong side. They both got blue on this thing. I think it's Ricardo Pereira, Portugal guy, played defense and dribbled that ball, took the ball from a Chelsea player, dribbled that ball out the back, took it, went through a few defenders, passed it to Madison, and then Madison passed it to Vardy. But it was all about the dribble of Pereira. All about Ricardo Pereira's dribble through the midfield of Chelsea. That's what this all was about. So I haven't really seen this guy a lot. But he's in there now. He's 25 years old from Portugal. So let's see if we see him some more. But yeah, surprised the shit out of Chelsea. They didn't think they was going to get coal in their stocking for their pre-Christmas gift. But that's what they got. Open a box and there was no points in there. Because them Leicester Grinches took it all. And next week, Chelsea plays Watford. And Watford's tough. Not next week, Wednesday. That's tough. Watford's, yeah, they show up most of the time. Most of the time they show up. They brings it. And you got to play at Watford. So, and just because Chelsea lost a game to Leicester doesn't mean they're going to lose to Watford. But I'm going to go back. And they've lost to Wolves, and now they've lost to Leicester, and Watford is very capable of giving Chelsea trouble this Wednesday. So we'll see. Arsenal, they're fifth. They have 37 points also. They tied with Chelsea. And, yeah, they beat Burnley soundly. A sound pounding. Burnley, what's going on? Sean Dyche, you old guys, after the season you had last year, are on the fast track back to the championship. I mean, you are hurling towards deportation. Jesus Christ. But Arsenal, you went out there, you handled your business, you got your goals, you raided them, you passed the ball around, you did your thing. Let's give credit where credit is due. Let me see who did what in this game. Where are you at, Arsenal? Wait, oh, there you go. Arsenal versus Burnley. Aubameyang, 2. He's on fire. Let me see how many goals he got now. This season, 12 goals. 18 games. This... Yo, gotta give Wenger some credit, man. He bought this guy. I mean, he bought him. He 12 goals in 18 games. Two of those 18 games, he was subbed in. Didn't even start. He got them goals, player. Put the ball in the back of the net syndrome. Alex Iwobi got a goal. It was a real assist from... they didn't give it to him but I think Ozil meant to pass that ball to him. And then Ozil was back in the lineup. And let's see what Arsenal was doing the last few weeks, because Arsenal kind of struggled the last few weeks. And they took Ozil out to teach him a lesson. And they lost last week to Southampton. But with Ozil back in, they won this week. So got to give Ozil some credit. I guess Burnley is one of them soft teams that Ozil is fitted to play against it. So insult to Burnley that Arsenal said, we're going to play Ozil. I think Mkhitaryan's out, broken foot for like 6 weeks. If I had a broken foot, I'd be out for the rest of my life. So more power to you, Ozil, for being able to come back. And outside of the top five, in the top six, is Man United. We are 29th. We are 6. We have 29 points. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. First game as a coach, we play Cardiff at Cardiff, and we run through Cardiff like laxatives. We scored 5 fucking goals from the game. We scored before the game started. That's how anxious the boys were to prove that Mourinho was a dark cloud. And you say, how did Man U score 5 goals? Well, first, the ingredients for Man U scoring 5 goals is, first, you fire Jose Mourinho. Get rid of him. Then you replace him with a positive manager who is an ex-player who won us, scored the winning goal in the 1999, was it? Or 98? Champions League final against Bayern. Last minute goal. And he's coached before, ironically, for Cardiff. And they got relegated when he was a coach, I think. But he's been in Norway, coaching there, doing good there. He's a student of Ferguson. And he's just got a smile on his face. He's happy to be back. He's home. And he brought the sunshine. And, yeah, Man U players react positively when they have vitamin D. And sunshine hit their faces. And they went out there and ran on Cardiff like wild horses with no hoofs on. Marcus Rashford scored in the 3rd minute of the game. 3rd minute, free kick. Pogba runs over the ball. Players move out the way in the wall. Rashford lasers the ball through. I missed that goal. That's how, like, I was trying to find what channel the game was on, because I was watching it on MSNBC, the first game. And for some weird reason, the cable system that I use, when I try to watch the games on NBC, they say it's a blackout in my area. I'm like, I don't live in Manchester or Cardiff. I live in America. How is this a blackout in my area for this game? So I don't get that. And then the Ander Herrera goal was pretty laser lights. Yeah. I mean, it took a deflection, but it was a perfect deflection. Goalkeeper did not stand a chance. And then Anthony Martial's goal. I mean, Lingard was involved. Pogba was involved. Martial was involved. Like, a lot of ping-ponging around in between each other, one-twos. Marshall goes through smooth, just smooth, just slides through the defense with the ball at his feet, pats it past the keeper, corner pocket, white ball, corner pocket, goal, 3. Then Lingard gets a penalty, creates a penalty, dribbles through Cardiff, creates a penalty, takes it, scores it. And then he got an assist from Pogba before that for his first goal of the match. And what can you say, man? Like, even Fred came in the game. If we go through the Man U lineup, right? Lindelof played good. Phil Jones played good, which he can play good sometimes. He played good a lot under Mourinho, you know? Ashley Young, who bugs the shit out of me. I do not trust this guy. Because he just does crazy things with the ball sometimes. When you have it, like, instead of doing some basic passing to, like, a teammate, he'll just go forward too much and be in no man's land and then have nowhere to go but to try to kick it off a defender. But played perfect football, I feel like, yesterday. Good passing, calmness, patience. Good passing. Luke Shaw balled out. Just looked like if he could play like that for the rest of the season, what an amazing guy this would be. Pogba played like a World Cup champion. Ander Herrera scored a goal. Matic, everybody's been trying to get rid of Matic, saying he's a stiff, no good. Played great. Rashford did his motherfucking thing. Anthony Martial, like, more of the Martial that I want to see. Receiving passes, giving them back, getting the ball back, putting them in the back of the net. running defenders ragged. Lingard. This is more of the Lingard I want to see. Just dribbled forward too. It's like, oh, with just Martial, Rashford, Lingard just dribbling forward. Like, Lingard, I think, is better if he just gets a shot on goal. Like, if you give him the ball to pass too much, even though he did pass that ball, I think, to Martial. For Martial's goal, let me see. Yeah, it was Lingard. Yeah. Now, he's usually terrible in the final third, but this whole team's been terrible. But it's crazy. Like coming before this game, I'm like, we don't have the players. They don't have the technical ability. We're in trouble. And I know it's just Cardiff, but it looked like we just bought 11 to 13 new players the way these guys played. Same guys, different players. One touch, passing the ball to each other, holding on to it, defending in the midfield, taking the ball away from Cardiff players, putting some pressure on them, and just looking like they could play football. And this is all Solskjaer has to do. Keep making us look like we can play football. And we would get some results. And it's more, instead of worrying about defense, they attacked. And attacking was their defense. The complete opposite of Mourinho. And listen, a lot of ex-players are like, you should play for your coach and blah, blah, blah. Hey, man, if you had you had Ferguson, you had a great coach to play for, ex-players. You had the guy that gave you the reason to put your life on the line. He pulled you up from the youth team and put you in, and you were broke ass motherfucking niggas, and he gave you an opportunity. You were grateful for him and you died for him on that field. And these guys, they're not Mourinho guys, and he didn't treat them. It's like you guys played because you tried to please your dad. And then if you're working for Scrooge, good luck being optimistic every practice and every game, trying to please Scrooge. Because you know what? Scrooge can never be pleased. He has to be visited by a ghost that fires him and replaces him with Solskjaer in order for him to learn his lesson. I mean, there's cafeteria people who worked all over the grounds that weren't happy with Mourinho. And they didn't have to deal with him all the time, constantly. The players had to. Like, he just needs to. I like Mourinho, but he needs to get he's an asshole, and he's got to get rid of that part of him. He's got to have an asshole vasectomy and get that shit cut out of him. He's one enough stuff, but you want to have good people in your life, and you want to be good to people, and it just doesn't feel like he was. And the ex-players are like, these players today are babies. Maybe, but a baby knows when he wants some milk from a titty. And when they cry, you listen to a baby and you give it to it. And then the baby stops crying. And then the baby starts growing and being a baby and starts to walk and starts to run and turns into an adult. So a baby needs nourishment too. You can't starve a fucking baby of nourishment. And you gotta act like an adult so that they can act like an adult. Fucking Ferguson acted like an adult. That's why you ex-players grew up to be adults. Mourinho is a 6-year-old with power. And that's never gonna go good. So stop shitting on these players and saying, I can't believe they didn't play for Mourinho. That, first of all, Solskjaer has a better attitude. Plus, he got to play against Cardiff's first game. Better attitude. Freed them up. Like, your best, an opposition's best defender can't be Man U's coach, who's holding his players back from attacking the opposition. let these fuck you didn't trust it. Mourinho didn't trust and didn't believe in the quality of his players. You could tell it from the beginning of the season. Didn't believe in the quality of his players when he tried to get rid of the same defenders that earned him second place last year. Didn't believe in the quality of his defenders or the quality of his players. Even some games like the Fulham game, he'd see what they got, they'd win a game. I think they won that game 4-1. And then just revert back to old distrust. When he let them play, they scored. And they were effective. So let's just go with this. Let's go with attacking. Let's go with like imposing our will on other teams instead of adjusting to some fantasy of their attack, especially when the team is not good at attacking. Let's fucking attack the shit out of them. Let's try to run through them. Bust their defense down with a damn Emmanuel water. And let's see where we go from there. And that's all Solskjaer has to do. So we're sixth. And everybody played good. I could go through it individually, but everybody played good. Fred played good when he came on. He looked good. Watford is seventh. They have 27 points. They're two behind Man U. And they beat West Ham. And West Ham has been in good form. And Watford, you know, they started the season well. Then they kind of went down a little bit. Then they went good, bad. And now two wins in a row. So after two losses, a draw, now two wins in a row. And, you know, Watford doing some things. And play Delafuel. He scored again. Play Delafuel. This guy can fucking ball. And I hope he gets his attitude just all about football. Because he can do some things. He can do things that if you're his opposition, you won't like. But that motherfucker can play some ball. Like, you know, West Ham's been good last few weeks. And Watford beat them. So, you know, keep ratcheting up that Watford attitude. Bournemouth won again. They're eighth. They had 26 points. They beat, you know, it's Brighton Hove. But you got to beat Brighton Hove, you know. Before that, you know, they had two losses. They lost to Wolves, who can beat you. They lost to Liverpool. And they won against Huddersfield before that. And they lost to, you know, they lost games they could have lost. But this is a game they could have won, and they won. You know, and they went at them. They got their goals. And I think one of the Brighton Hove players got a red card. And he got two yellows. Adds up to a red. And so Bournemouth back in the winning seat. And Leicester, talked about you earlier, your ninth, and you got that win against Chelsea. Shock. Vardy. And who do you play? Don't you play Man City at home? Can you beat them? Maybe not. And they're going to be pissed. They just lost. They're going to be angry. They're going to take their Christmas out on somebody. And Leicester is in the way. You're going to be the wrapping on a package that contains 3 points. And Man City is going to try to rip that fucking package apart that's under their tree and get all 3 points out that box. Just to go back to Bournemouth. They play Tottenham. That's going to be tough for Bournemouth. And it's at Tottenham on Wednesday. Well. You tried. And Watford plays Chelsea. Like I said, it's a tough game for them. For Watford, tough game for Chelsea. Let's see who last team standing. At Man City, we play Huddersfield. The good thing about Solskjaer is that he gets three teams that they can beat to play in a row. So let's see if he can win all those out. I mean, the Bournemouth game is going to be tough. Huddersfield game should be easier, but we should run out on them like they're a field and we're a set of wild horses and dig our hoofs in. And if we play skill for skill, speed, passing, run at them, take our chances. And you're playing at Man U, Solskjaer's first game coaching there since his return. So it's going to be live. Wednesday's going to be live. So put my money on Man U. Please don't disappoint me, please. Wolverhampton Wanderers, you are 10th. You won 3 in a row, and then you lost to Liverpool, and you tried. You had your chances. Like I said earlier in the game, you did not take them, and Liverpool made you pay. But I believe in Wolverhampton Wanderers, man. They are going to stay up. Unless something crazy happens, they're going to stay up. And they might stay up and finish in the top 10. They're 10 now. They play Fulham. Winnable. They can beat Fulham. They belong here more than Fulham does. Everton, you're number 11. And you're 24th. You got 24 points. You're 11th place. You lost 2 in a row. Last week, you lost to Man City, which I said, hey, this team has proved that they belong in this league, like in the league of the top teams. And they don't. There's something missing. They're missing, the way they were set up was fine, but they don't. Like, Walcott is not, like, he wouldn't start on, this is hodgepodge, and it's gumbo. Like, gumbo can turn out good. You know, like, the players, the pieces that they got, it's like gumbo. They got some people from the youth system. They got some people they bought. Like, it's like a Nordstrom's Rack team. It's like they're never going to buy, like, the best player. They're going to try and get the best deal on a player that came from a name brand team that didn't make it in that name brand. Like, you know, it's like Marshalls, you know. It's like they got name brand players and clothes, but it's like irregular. You know, they sell the regular version of the name brand. It's the thing that has the stitching wrong. And that's what, you know, that's what Everton has on their field. And speaking of stitching, Jesus, get some adult uniforms. Your uniforms look like a local team's uniform, like a Sunday league uniform. Who's making your shit? That's the same. Their uniforms is like, we won't pay a real company to make it. We'll pay somebody that used to work for the real company to make it, and we'll get them done cheaper. We won't play, you know, we'll take all the best teams. We'll take their cast offs. And then if we have a really good player, we'll sell them. So Everton is 11th for a reason. Like, Man U has had a terrible year. And Everton, before Solskjaer got there, if Everton was the truth, they'd be ahead of Man U. But they're not, and they're 11th. Bournemouth's ahead of them. Leicester's ahead of them. Wolverhampton's ahead of them. Watford's ahead of them. So many places you could have Everton. Yeah, and you got ran through by Tottenham. 6-2. Drilled. Drilled to kill. West Ham, after 4 wins in a row, you're running to Watford. And they beat you. They said, not today. Not today. These are our points. You go try to get some points from Southampton next week. And Watford, West Ham has to play Southampton, who has their new coach. So it's a different Southampton world out there. You got to go to Southampton with their new coach, their reinvigorated fans, their reinvigorated players. It's, that's not going to be it. Normally, this is a statement I wouldn't have made 3 Southampton games ago, but this is not going to be easy, West Ham, for you to go to Southampton. Not now. Wrong time, bro. But you're still playing good. So this is a good game between two mediocre teams that are just getting their shit together. So could go either way. But I just the spirit of Southampton right now, you know, they beat Arsenal. And they just beat Huddersfield. So good luck, West Ham. Brighton Hove, 13th, 21 points, second year in the league. You're in there, baby. You're doing your thing. You're 19 points away from safety. Haven't played half the games of the season yet. If you continue at this rate, I don't know if your schedule is favorable or not, but good for you. I mean, you lost three in a row. You got Arsenal coming up on Wednesday. But still, congrats on all your wins and losses to be out of relegation and close to safety. Crystal Palace, two wins in a row. Last week they beat Leicester 1-0. This week they beat Man City. And good run. This is a good, you know, you go into Christmas as a Crystal Palace fan smiling. Like, what did we just do on Saturday? Did we just beat Man City? Those players and Hodgson gave the fans the gift of gifts. Like, they turned a sure loss into gold. You know, and you know when you're just not gonna get that gift for Christmas, and you're like sulking, and you're like, I'm gonna open this box, but it ain't gonna be the shit that I want in it, and it's exactly what you want when you open it times nine. That's what Crystal Palace players did on Saturday. So, Crystal Palace fans should be happy as shit, and you got Cardiff coming up too. You could. Get three wins in a row. Let's see if the Crystal Palace players have the discipline to deliver this third win. I don't think they're always disciplined. I think that's their issue. Discipline and focus. Can we always play our best? Crystal Palace does not always play their best. That's the problem. Cardiff is desperate, so let's see. Crystal Palace, you have the chance. You're at home against Cardiff. Do something. Be disciplined. Christmas is going to fuck with their discipline. You know, you're going to be, it's Christmas. You're going to be family, friends, drinking. You got to come to this thing focused if you want to get three wins in a row. Newcastle. Drawed with Fulham. They're in 15th place. So best thing I can say is Newcastle didn't lose this week. And they play Liverpool on Wednesday. So I guess they're saving their loss for this, the day after Christmas. They just won 1-1 against Huddersfield, drawed against Fulham, and saving their loss to round out the trifecta of win, draw, lose to Liverpool at Liverpool on Wednesday. Yeah, you guys are going to drown. Southampton, they're in 16th place, 15 points. Like I said, they just beat Huddersfield 3-1. And they got West Ham coming up. And this should be a very interesting game. I should try to watch this game. I will. I'll try to watch this game for sure. I want to see what these new coaches are doing. It's the battle of the new coaches. Cardiff, man, when I say man, I mean Man U, lost 5-1, you lost two in a row, you've won two out of your last five, so that's not bad. You are in 17th place, you're 14 points floating in a deprivation tank above the relegation zone, just so close to sinking. If they let the salt out that water, you will die. And you got Crystal Palace coming up. I just talked about that. That's winnable for them if they focus. You've won, I think, how many games has Cardiff won? Is that 4 wins? Two draws, 12 losses. Let's see if you got it in you. Come on, cuz. I'm rooting for you. Day after Christmas. Kadeem. Get him. Burnley. You're in 18th. You're in the relegation zone. What a turnaround from last year. Can Sean Dyche stop these players' fingers from sliding down the wall and leaving streaks that end up all the way in the championship next year? Can he make them dig their heels in? Is this over for him? A guy who was considered one of the best English coaches. They're like, shit, if you got before the World Cup, they're like, shit, just give him. I was like, give him the job of England. You know, before Southgate, like, pulled it all together. I was like, this guy gets the most out of his players. I think part of the problem is that you got Aaron Lennon on your team and you got Hart on your team. Players you brought in from the outside, maybe that disrupted the chemistry of the team, like trusting other people instead of the people that you came to the dance with, like names, people that played for England that aren't as good as they were, you know, but maybe you're trusting experience. I don't know how the chemistry of this team got upset. I'm going to go look it up. I'm that curious. So the social science guy in me is very curious of why Burnley is just plummeting. Like, it's bad stock right now. If, like, last year this time, Bitcoin was like, you get it, and it was going up. And that was Burnley. And now Bitcoin is down, and Burnley is like Bitcoin. It's just down, bro. You play Everton, and this is Everton probably win this because they need a win. This is an Everton style win. So, buy Bitcoin, Burnley. Huddersfield, 19th. 5 losses in a row. God damn. You lost to Southampton. And you play Man U. That's the only thing that worries me about Huddersfield. You lose 5 games in a row. That's usually the point where you're like, fuck it. We're not losing this one. We're going to get it together. And so, you know, going into this game against Man U, even though it's at Man U, we got Solskjaer, and we should be able to beat you. I worry that you might be like underdog the shit out of us and be like, nah, we are not going to take this no more. But hopefully it'll be a Merry Christmas for Man U fans and you'll lose 6 in a row. And Fulham, you're tied with Newcastle. So I can say the good news is you didn't lose this week. Bad news is you're still at the bottom of the table. You're 20th. You got 10 points. But like I said, if you win next week, you could climb out of this situation. Now, you'd still be in it, but you'd be at the top of the bottom if the other two teams lose. So Burnley has Everton. Burnley has Everton, which they can lose to. Huddersfield has Man U. You play Wolves. That's just a, yeah. All right, you're just going to be at the bottom. Same place you were. You're going to have 10 points for Christmas. Same 10 points you came to Christmas with. But at least you didn't lose this week. You tied. 0-0 with Newcastle. You split the points. And so your fans got a point for Christmas. So everybody, that's the tables. That's the podcast. Merry Christmas. I'll do another one after the games, the Boxing Day games. Fuck it. Let's just keep this going. Everyone have a Merry Christmas. If you want to get somebody a gift, I hate self-promotion, but try 100% Half-Ass. My album that was produced by Conan O'Brien is available at all listening platforms, Spotify, CD Baby, all of them, iTunes. It's out there. $5. Funny ass album. If you want to make your family laugh this Christmas. And yeah, special comes out next year. It's been a good, fun year, a learning year. It's not over yet. And enjoy yourselves. Love yourselves. Peace, everyone. Merry Christmas. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I can't remember what I forgot. So, one love.